Longtime listeners of mine will recognize my next guest. Dr. Lee is sitting back down with me in this episode of The Cole Memo. In case you didn't know, Dr. Lee recently moved to Oregon to provide psilocybin-assisted therapy. You can check out his website at spaceportland.com. We'll have that link in the podcast description. Folks, you're listening to The Cole Memo. I'm your host, Cole Preston. Every episode is released in audio, video, and transcript formats. To find the transcript, audio, or video version of any episode, please refer to the description of the episode that you're listening to now. Within that description, you will find a link that will take you to our website, which will display the transcript for this episode and the platforms where you can find this episode in audio or video formats. If you're unable to locate the episode description on whichever platform you're listening from, simply note the episode number and visit thecolememo.com. From there, you can use our new search functionality, which can be found in the top right-hand corner, to find the corresponding episode, and then you'll be able to access the audio, video, and transcript version of that episode. For example, if you're looking for episode 57 featuring Dr. Bob Miller, just use the search functionality and type in 57, and it should pull up the episode. You might also find any links that we reference during the episode so that you might be able to do your own research. For example, spaceportland.com will be in the show notes for this episode. If you're not listening to this episode of The Cole Memo on Patreon, then you're listening to this episode later than our patrons. To become a patron, go to thecolememo.com/Patreon. It's a great way to support our show. One of the best ways to support our show is absolutely free. Subscribe to or follow our show. Leave us a positive review from wherever you're listening to us from. Favorite this episode, give it a thumbs up, leave a comment, or post a review. Your engagement and support is appreciated. Parting thought, there's one other option for support. If you go to thecolememo.com/support, you can give us a one-time monthly or yearly contribution of your choice. That's right. You could donate a dollar once, or you could donate a dollar once a month, which would be $12 per year. Every little bit counts. If you're able to support us financially, that is greatly appreciated. But once again, one of the best ways to support our show is free. Just tell your friends about it. Leave a positive review. Folks, today is February 22nd, 2024. Enjoy this episode of The Cole Memo. Dr. Lee, it's a pleasure to sit back down with you. It'll be for the first time, though, on The Cole Memo. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. If you don't mind, tell the audience who you are in case they haven't been listening, because you were like a recurring character, let's say, in the Chillinoid podcast.
Yeah, I had a great time doing it. It was a lot of fun. My name is Dr. Lee. I am a physician, although it has been a long time since I practiced like a normal doctor. In 2020, I started a telemedicine business called Green Mind Physicians. It was a medical marijuana certification business. So me and Cole met through, you know, however people meet, I think it was Reddit. Yeah, definitely. We met through Reddit and we had a lot in common. So we did a few podcasts together. Last year, I sold the business, which is crazy. You know, I was never trained to do anything like that, but it was just something cool that I had the opportunity to do. So I did it and it was great. When I sold Green Mind Physicians, I thought a lot about like what I wanted to do after that. And psychedelics were something that was always a huge part of my life. And Oregon started a psilocybin program. So they voted on it in 2020 and it got started last year. So I moved out here to Portland. And here I am. And it's just crazy to look back and think about how it all went down. You know, the first business was related to marijuana and the second business was related to psilocybin. And it's just like things are coming into play like right when right when I need them to. So we gotta just be grateful for it all. It's been a fun time.
Yeah, dude, ride the wave, ride the wave. Well, that's really cool. That's really cool. Yeah, I remember when you said you were doing that, I was like, Well, this is going to be perfect because part of changing the show name was to kind of bring a more national focus and to be able to, sometimes when I would talk about things that were happening in other states, they'd be like, but this is the Chillinois podcast. So we can now kind of, I feel more comfortable talking about everything. Anyways, though, tell us how that's been going, man. Like it sounds so cool, and I hear about it, but you've got the boots on the ground. So.
Yeah, I mean, it is psychedelics are coming. They're coming for you soon. I'm sure they will. Colorado voted last year, and Oregon and Colorado coming first. That makes sense to me. The Midwest will soon follow, I'm sure. And I kind of feel like it's going to be similar to marijuana. Piece by piece, state by state, it will do its thing. People are very interested in it, by and large. I'm a lifelong psychedelic user. I will not stand here and lie to you. I have been using drugs for many years. What has been created for us in Oregon, like as a legal system, it's really different from what, you or I or anyone else who might be listening, has traditionally experienced with psychedelics. It's very different. Obviously, when you are dealing with the government, they're going to take the most cautious approach and it's going to involve a lot of licensing and a lot of paperwork and a lot of fees, and that's what we experience here. The type of business that I own is called a service center. It's kind of like a clinic, so it kind of makes sense for me as a doctor. People will come in, they will have their psychedelic experience there, be able to take a dose of mushrooms, however much they want. And then there are all kinds of rules. You take this dose, you have to be at our building for this many hours. You have to be with a facilitator or a counselor the entire time. And you can only legally do mushrooms at our service center. So that's like, a ton of rules, and that's not necessarily an awesome feeling, I would say. I would say that I would ideally like people to experience psychedelics in a different setting. But you got to get started somewhere, and what we have is safe and it makes sense and it does reflect the research to some degree, but it's it's got its ups and downs for sure.
Yeah. So when you go to the service center, do you acquire the psilocybin there as well? Like you purchase it?
Yep, you purchase it. You can choose how much you want to take. So, there's a ton of national interest in microdosing. That's like a huge thing. It really doesn't make sense for the legal psilocybin model. It just doesn't make sense. But you can choose like a normal dose, which is about 25 milligrams of psilocybin, like an eighth of mushrooms back in the day. That's probably about what you're going to get. And for people who are really interested in having certain type of experience, you can take up to 50 milligrams, which is, it's going to get you somewhere.
So you're saying 25 milligrams is like a equivalent to an eighth approximately?
I mean, rough math, sure. In Oregon, when you get the
Yeah.
product at the facility, you have to like send it through a laboratory, so you kind of know a little more. But in general, 25 milligrams for a bag of shrooms, it's probably what we've been doing for years.
Right. No, yeah, for sure. That was like the go-to. I'm curious, will it be like mushrooms themselves, or will they be capsules, or will there be different options? I don't know.
There will eventually be different options, I'm sure. When you apply as a manufacturer, you check specific boxes that say, I'm going to be doing whole fungus, I'm going to be doing extracts, I'm going to be doing baked goods. I don't know if they do baked goods, but you gotta choose when you apply for the permit. So at the moment, I just don't think there's enough interest in the state. They do release numbers on like how many patients are sitting for sessions and stuff. So the only thing I've really seen are just the mushrooms themselves for sale. But that's where we are right now.
Gotcha. And how, what are the numbers? Not to pop quiz you, but I'm just curious, like, are they good? And are many people taking advantage of the service?
There's so much to say. The average price of a psilocybin trip in Oregon right now is like $2,000. So let's start there. Yeah.
Whoa.
It's crazy.
It
It's
costs
I
me $30.
exactly. So
Yeah.
it's not That has to be a huge conversation point. It is the conversation point when it comes to legal psilocybin is a price point, because it really doesn't make sense. And I pay like $100 for therapy. I pay $100 for an hour, and I think of it as it being a good price. So, and therapy, psychotherapy is something that you do over and over again. And I think for successful psychedelic practice, repetition is part of the situation. So none of this is easily executed when your price point is a few thousand dollars. So it really becomes a question of what you're willing to do as a business owner and like what you're trying to do with psychedelics. It was never my dream to sell a $2,000 mushroom trip. In no version of myself across the infinite timelines was there ever a version that wanted to sit down and like charge someone $2,000 to take mushrooms. It just doesn't make sense to me. But we have to pay $10,000 for 1 year of business permit to like operate as a service center. So if you look at general economics, for sure that you got to charge a shitload to make up for that $10,000 thing. So yeah, I'd say that that is a huge hindrance. There's reporting suggesting that most of the people using our industry are rich people from out of state that fly in and pay for the $2,500 trip and then fly back. There's also, just talking to other business owners, I would say, 30 trips a month is kind of average. So like one or two a day, it's really not like a crush of people or anything. It's trickle in. But yeah, that is, that's the state of things at the moment.
Yeah, I'm frustrated with myself because I can't find it. Maybe I'll find it in a second. But there's another great content creator, Mycopreneur, and he was talking about I don't even know what the numbers he was sourcing. I hope I can pull these numbers up. But he was basically just pointing out that it almost even worse off than cannabis. It's like sorry, I'll try to put my thought in a bottle here. There's so many mushrooms that are being grown just like openly in Oregon and California and all across the United States that it's like you say, you're running up against like it cost me $10,000 to get this fucking license and I got to make this money back. But who wants to pay this money for fucking a mushroom trip, So it's like a hard place to be.
It's a really hard place to be, and it's the people that own these service centers are not like it's not like what you see with marijuana, where it's like a bunch of slick businesses that probably have franchises and stuff. It's randos. It's people like me, just people who've had lifelong interest in psychedelics, hippies, people like that. By and large, that's what I see. So it is kind of funny to have this perspective and like being put in this situation where we basically have to charge this much. I don't like it and I don't want it. Like, whatever I do in the future is always gonna, think about that type of thing, the money and the finance and like what is going to it. The way our law works makes it very clear that you can have a session with a few people at once. Like a group session, you have to do it a little different preparation, and the way you hold it has to be a little different, of course. But it's legal. And at the same time, it's legal for a counselor or facilitator to sit with a few patients at once. So when you put all of this together, it seems very clear that to make the facilitator money and also to keep the cost low for the client, the group session is probably best. So I do think that there's a way where the facilitator can still make, cost them a lot to make their to get their licensure too. To compensate them well, but still keep the cost down, I think there's a way to do it. I don't think people are very interested in it, the other businesses, but that's what we're here to do. Shake it up the same way we did with the last business. And then the other thing that I am interested in is research. I've always been an evidence-based person. Probably talked too much about it in our previous podcasts. But it is a huge need in psilocybin because what exists in research does not reflect what happens in reality. So those two things definitely need to close the gap. And having my type of business, which exists outside of hospitals and where research used to occur, that's a step in that direction. So I'm really interested in pushing that aspect. And when you fuck with research, you're dealing with research grants and universities. And at that point, I'm not really worried about the price point I'm charging. Because those things are built into the grant. So there are other things with psilocybin that I really, really care about. And whatever we do with this service center, I will not be charging thousands of dollars. I just can't do it. It feels too weird.
I mean, that was one of your, that's why you were so popular in Illinois, because you were the best option, not like most compassionate in pricing and easiest to really get a hold of, I gotta say. So I wouldn't expect anything less from you. And I wanted to ask, I can make sure to put it in the bumper of the episode so that it's not 15 minutes into it or however far we are. Do you want to plug like how people can find your services?
Yep, you can visit our website at Space Portland. It's all spelled out, SPACE Portland. You can check out our facility and see what it looks like to have a legal psilocybin facility that was designed by someone who enjoys drugs. And you should check out some of the other businesses. This is our outside area. I landscaped it by myself because I'm a crazy person.
Beautiful.
Yeah, thanks. It would be nice to, it's just nice to have an outdoor element to a psychedelic therapy session. I just think that that makes sense. These look dark. I'm gonna get new pictures. But these are all, this is a building that I renovated. I'm really proud of it. The Green Mind Physicians money went to this. And it's something I really believe in. So I'm happy to be doing this and talking about it. Where this goes in the future, I think your other point is very correct. Mushrooms already exist. There's a huge interest in them. And for most people, putting together a trip for yourself, at home or in the woods or doing whatever you want to do, I think that is very appealing. That's how I would like to experience the drugs. There will always be a case for guided facilitation or for sitting down with a therapist and going through your psychedelic experience. There will always be a case for that. The same way that there will always be a case for traditional therapy. I think those things coexist, those ideas of doing psychedelics on your own and then having the option to sit down with a licensed facilitator. In the future, I would love to be able to directly sell psychedelics to the public and not just psilocybin. I'd love to be able to sell MDMA or Ibogaine or, anything. I do think that should be something that we are able to access as a human people. That's a long way from now. In my perspective, I do a good job now. I offer a fair price. I have a good reputation. In a few years, I'll be able to do what I really want to do, which is broaden psychedelic access. I think that's where this goes if I'm lucky.
Yeah. And this was the tweet I was referencing earlier, again, from the creator Mycopreneur, a little bit unrelated, but somewhat, on the same page. They said, just did a podcast with a mushroom facility consultant who says 9 out of 10 grows in LA they worked with are doing 1,000 pounds of psilocybin mushrooms per month. Add to that the infinitely available home grow kits. All models projected by the emerging industry are worthless. So it wasn't so much in the same. You can see why it made me, what you said made me think of that though, right?
Yeah, 100%.
With what you're stacked up against.
And I've talked to other business owners and they'll say stuff like, oh, just trying to figure out how to get people through the door. And I'm like, and that is very true. It kind of goes back to what we were saying about, the context of what you're doing your psychedelic in. There are people who get exactly what they need at home or dancing in a club or, whatever way that you access psychedelic treatment.
Yeah, but
And there are some people that need a person to be with them. It's just a fact.
right. I mean, sometimes I feel like that, honestly, So.
Same. And if I was going to do something really crazy like ayahuasca, I definitely wouldn't want to do it by myself.
Right. Or DMT or something.
I mean, I think it makes sense to have a cost for that type of treatment, but I don't think that's the only thing that exists with psychedelics.
Sure.
Yeah.
As one of my favorite activists in Illinois says, who helped to introduce the Cure Act, which I'll display the graphic for that right now, which you'll like because it has a Chillinois logo for mushrooms. So the Illinois Psychedelic Society helped to, introduce House Bill 1. A Senate bill was actually just introduced with the same language. So, we're seeing some movement. But as she says, yes, multiple points of access. So definitely there's a space for the guided therapy, which is what we're going to have in Illinois. And that's going to be the legal component. It sounds like we're basically doing exactly what Oregon is doing. We're creating a legal component, but we are also, and this is my favorite part of the bill, descheduling psilocybin, which effectively does make the cultivation and possession and use decriminalized. So yes, while your only legal place to procure and get a guided experience will be a licensed place, you can still share mushrooms and even have like the sacramental ceremonies or whatever if one of those options are cost prohibitive, which, like you say, it's like all of the options should be on the table. You know what I mean?
And I hope people really learn from what's happening in Oregon. We're the first ecosystem in the country that's doing what we're doing. And the way that it turned out is this way. And who's to say if it's a good way or a bad way? I'm not going to criticize a thing, something that I'm, just dipping my toe into. But I didn't get into psychedelics to only serve rich people from out of state. It's not what I like. It's not what I like to think about. There has to be a different way to do this. And until we figure it out, we're doing doing it this way. Oh, your volume is voluming.
Thank you. Two questions that are unrelated. Do you have any like notable stories to share so far? Like any good, obviously you can't get into specifics, but like, I don't know, just like high level good experiences to share.
So our clinic is at, we've gone through all the inspections and we've turned in the 8 million parts of paperwork we paid today. So we're actually not going to be starting until the first.
Okay.
So business wise, I have nothing important to share. I will say that shit is crazy out here. There's a lot of businesses and you get the feeling that there aren't a lot of good actors, I was undergoing facilitator training of my own, which was expensive and kind of silly. And the company that I was going through, I paid everything up front. They went under. And I was at a point where I was like a few G's into this thing. And the company was like, we're not doing this education anymore. So shit like that is like occurring and it's gross. I don't think it's going to stop. I think there's going
Yeah.
to be some crazy abuses in the psychedelic realm at first.
Was that required, the facilitator training, like from
To
a.
be a facilitator? Oh, yeah. To get your license with the state?
Okay.
It sure is. Positively, I mean, the whole reason I'm in Oregon is because after I sold the business, well, while I was selling the business, we went through a whole bunch of crazy shit. I had to go through some legal shit with another company. Over a previous contract and like a breakup was involved. They're always involved. So I was really at the end of my rope and I was at a music festival with a bunch of my friends and I went on my first trip in like 4 years. And during this trip, it was very, very clear. So, like I was feeling like shit for a really long time. And at some point during this experience, I was like, I need to move to Portland and be about this life because this is what you actually care about. So this, in some ways, all comes back to a psychedelic trip. And I'm very grateful to the guys I was with on that trip too, because it was, it's that type of thing. And you owe a lot to the people you're with when you're on those experiences.
Yeah.
So that is definitely, something I'm happy to share for sure.
Yeah, and I want to dwell on something that you said for a moment because I think it's important for people that don't take mushrooms to understand that I don't know, most people that I talk to that take mushrooms, just like you said, it was your first trip in 4 years. I had a trip recently. It was my first trip in I think 2 years. I have so much respect for the experience that I like seldom engage in it. I feel like it's not ripe for abuse. Do you see that from a, I wanted to ask you that
Yes.
anecdotally, but does the data reflect that as well?
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's kind of like an anti-abuse drug because you cannot take it on consecutive days. It's really almost impossible. And just the way that it affects your system doesn't give you the same things that produce a good old-fashioned addiction. So it is pretty much impossible to get addicted to psychedelics. And funny you should say that. We actually have a pretty decent amount of data suggesting that psilocybin is a fairly reputable treatment for things like opiate addiction. It's one of the things that we don't have like a great cure for in general, which is what makes psychedelics kind of interesting. And the other thing that you said is that you only use psychedelics once in a while. Totally makes sense. It is a very intense situation, especially once you get in those higher dosages. But the research that we have that proves that psilocybin is real. It's all pretty much the same across the board. You have like a 12-week chunk of time and you're getting therapy like all throughout, and you get this introduction to the psychedelics before your session, and then you take the drugs, and then you have a debriefing session, and you do drugs twice. All research protocols are pretty similar. It's 12 weeks, two psychedelic sessions, 25 milligrams, like we said earlier. That's where research is. So it is suggestive that two trips is like the gold standard or whatever, just because that's what we've been doing. But yeah, that's a huge part of why I do what I do. You know, what I just described to you is bullshit. Who wants to sit in a hospital for 12 weeks and like have a fucking dude with a white coat poke you while you're on your trip? Absolutely not. What I experienced 2 years ago in Portland, to get me to move to Portland, like that's the fucking magic. So how are you gonna like take the magic and what you know already works and put it into this rigid system? Like, how do you find that balance? What I've seen so far suggests that other people cannot find the balance because we're looking at a lot of places that just look like an office building, and that's not a great place to have this type of experience. So all that shit's really fun to think about. Personally, if I can like move psychedelic research a little bit forward into the point where it's like, you know, now we have scientific proof that like doing Molly and dancing around is good for your mental health for the next year. If I can prove something like that, then I will consider it a career well spent. It's just the things that we know as like a human people and people that enjoy life and have had their lives changed with psychedelics. Like basically none of it has been captured in research. So if we move life a little, move science a little more in that direction in whatever way that means, that's what I really hope to do.
I'm curious, is this model based? I'm pretty sure that ketamine is like kind of ahead of mushrooms in many ways, in the sense that like right now in Illinois, you can go to a ketamine clinic and get go through undergo a same a similar experience. It sounds like where you are, you know, administered and you're guided and such. Is that what this is? This at least initial model is modeled after? We're not just, I guess my point is, we're not just making this up as we go, are we? Or is it both?
Oh, there's so much fun stuff to talk about. We are kind of making it up as we go, just based off like the best that we know, frankly. The number of total studies that looks at psilocybin that's been published, it's like two dozen. It's really not that much. Ketamine is, you're totally right. It's more widespread. It's easy to access. There's shitload of it that's been produced by pharmaceutical companies. So it's in the supply chain. It's just easy to get. In addition to that, you can take it in two different forms. You can take it in intranasal form, which means you snort it, and you can do that at home. And then there's another kind that you can take that is the kind that actually works, where you inject it like a intramuscular, intravenous would probably be even better, but that is not something that we can access as normal humans. Ketamine is slightly different because we've been using it for so long medically for anesthetic. It's been in our hospitals forever. It's been used for induction. We use it in the ER for pain control, for anxiety control. We use it a lot. So that has really helped ketamine be a little different than the other psychedelics. But I do want to say that the evidence is not as good for ketamine, and it's not even close. If you look at the body of evidence supportive of the fact that X psychedelic is good for, PTSD, anxiety, depression, the stuff that we think they're good for, where is the evidence? At this point, it's pretty much exclusively with psilocybin. So you can't really say that ketamine is more of a, to me, is more of a money thing. You can definitely make your money with ketamine, and people are already doing it. And then psilocybin, you have to do this like annoying session that's 6 hours long and is expensive and stupid, and like the business doesn't scale. So like, why are you doing it to begin with? Well, it works. The evidence is there.
It's interesting. It's very interesting. I asked these questions, some of the questions I'm asking, I was supposed to have a conversation with, and it's not the first time, but a person that doesn't believe cannabis should be legal at all. So, on the same token, they don't believe any of this stuff should be legal. So, I asked some of these questions, with a thought in mind that somebody like that might be watching right now and like a skeptic, you know what I mean? So I try to ask questions like that, like what is this model? You know what I mean? And I figured it was, I mean, how else? Like we've never had this system before. So like, yeah, of course we're creating it as we go. And like you say, it doesn't seem ideal right now. Like we're doing what we're doing, I think, to correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like it was kind of a conservative pitch where it's like, all right, you're going to have a licensed person here, like a health professional. It just makes everybody feel at ease. And I think rightfully so. Again, I want to return to the fact that there are sometimes when I would prefer to have like a strong person in the room if I'm having a trip, somebody that can like say, get it together, Cole, something like that, or hey, it's okay. So I feel like that whole structure, at least initially, like you say, it's not ideal, but it's kind of put together to maybe even satisfy the concerns of the person I was just talking about, to be like, hey, it's not just a fucking wild rave party. This is like a fucking medical procedure with
Yeah, and I think
structure.
that's the intention to, establish a good safety record, no issues. There haven't been any issues in the state so far. To have this very conservative, very structured thing. We have to even kind of root out people with issues that might not do well with psilocybin before the fact. So there's all kinds of systems in place to make sure people have good experiences, and that's the essence of legality. You go through those hoops to prove that it's a good thing, and then maybe down the line it will be a little different. One of the things you said earlier about, caution and like how did we get to this point? It is fun to think about that crazy 12-week session in the hospitals with the two psychedelics. And like thinking about how much it sucks and like who would ever want to do that. And at the same time, being like, well, it still fucking worked. Like those people who sat through all that crazy shit and went through the 72 hours of therapy and the 1800 surveys that they have to take when you're in psychedelic research. At the end of the day, you sat down and you told us that it really changed your life. So, even in really bad situations, it still works. And if that's all we've shown up to this point, we have more to show for sure. But another interesting point is that we collect large scale data on American drug use. There's this thing called, oh, I'm gonna fuck up the name. It's NAHSMA or something like that. There's six letters. And basically, hundreds of thousands of people respond and they tell us how they've used drugs and what kind of mental health outcomes they've had. They tell us a bunch of other shit, but that's stuff we're interested in for the purposes of this conversation. Lifetime psychedelic use has been linked with lower risk of suicidal ideation and mental distress. And that's just taking psychedelics one time at any point in your lifetime. It's also been linked with lower rates of many mental health outcomes, and this stuff has been published. It's been sifted through by statisticians, and it's been published in really reputable journals. So, to the best of our knowledge, we can say that if a human being uses psychedelics at some point in their life, even once, even this vague ass sentence that I'm saying, in general, it does seem like they will enjoy slightly better mental health. So you add that fact together with the fact that psychedelics work even in the worst conditions in these hospitals, and you just say to yourself that there is something there. There's a lot of crazy shit going on in the world right now. But I have pretty unfettered optimism for psychedelics, even with the other crazy shit. So it's nice to just be working with something that you really believe in.
Yeah. And to be clear for folks, because I think this is exactly how Illinois is, like you can take advantage of the service, or sorry, I don't mean to say Illinois is the way Illinois would be if the Cure Act became law. You could take advantage of this legal psilocybin option if you had like some sort of like PTSD or whatever else, but you could also just, if you just wanted to go through that experience, you can do that. Is the same, can the same thing be said about Oregon?
Yep, you can just choose to do it.
Great. That's good. I'm glad that that's the case. And it's just a matter of connecting with the facilitator. There's no process you have to go through, like getting a card or anything like that.
No, you just have to be 21, and you do have to sit down with your facilitator 24 hours in advance, endure all the screenings. There's a little song and dance, but not too much. We've even been able to access the traditional banking resources so people can pay with credit cards, way more than I thought we'd be able to do right off the bat. So it feels like very secure thing at the moment. I definitely think we should talk again in 6 months and see how things are going.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah.
I'm
Hope that answers
curious.
the question.
Yeah, it does. How does, I mean, you probably didn't have to deal with it as a doctor, but everybody that I've talked to in the cannabis industry, like, especially if they work in it, they've run into one issue or another, whether it's having to use a credit union to hold their cash because a bank won't accept their cash because it's cannabis cash. Or maybe even in the case of loans, they might say, well, your income is cannabis, and some banks are just weird about it. Is there anything like that with psilocybin, or have you experienced anything? I mean, it sounds like you have access to credit cards, so that's at least something different with than
Yeah, I mean,
cannabis.
I think a lot of everyone's experience is guided by the marijuana industry. Like a lot of the rules that I read are straight lifted from the marijuana laws. And then the banks are the same way. You know, the banks that were progressive about giving marijuana businesses bank accounts, had a good experience with that, are definitely the ones that have, offered to work with us. I don't expect to deal with a lot of cash at all. I know that is part of the whole spiel with marijuana, but thankfully it seems like we've kind of gotten to skip over that. Other than that, we've gotten traditional insurance. And then, oh, yeah, the other thing you mentioned I want to say is the mortgage or the lease. That is a huge sticking point for sure, especially with the way the law is right now. There's no like, you really have no protection. You know, even if you go into something with a, property owner or a bank and you're good at first and you're operating, like, what if someone along the way just decides they don't want to work with a mushroom business and you have to pick up shop and move somewhere else? It's crazy to think about. Like I went through a lot of like mental processes when I was looking for the location. I didn't really see a good outcome when I don't own the property. That's a huge knock against the Oregon system, by the way. It means that a lot of people can't own businesses. Because you basically have to own your own property. I magically sold a telemedicine business last year, so I was able to do that kind of thing, but I don't really expect, the average person to be able to do that. I think the only secure way to exist right now is to basically own your place.
Yeah. Well, I think I have about two other questions, and then I want to give you the space in case we haven't mentioned anything that you wanted to talk about. But did you just mention that insurance can be used? That's pretty freaking cool. I didn't know that.
Not health insurance. So patients
Ah.
can't use their health insurance yet. We have
That's
like
good.
traditional building and business insurance. That's
Oh,
from
gotcha.
the business owner standpoint, that's very funny. But I would love to be able to take private health insurance or state, more likely Oregon state health insurance, because that covers poor people or people. Actually, I gotta stop saying that. People with a limited income. It covers all kinds of people that can't traditionally afford psilocybin services. Psilocybin, or sorry, Oregon insurance is very progressive. Like, they already cover acupuncture and stuff. So I would assume that they would be interested in covering something like psilocybin. So I do think that is on the table, and living in this state may be something that will come up sooner rather than later, hopefully.
And if you want to plead the fifth on this question for now, you have experience dealing with the state of Illinois. What's it like? And I say that because if you're like trying not to make any regulators mad, we don't have to go here. But I was just curious. This dealing with the state of Illinois sounded like a pain in the ass for you, dealing with the website and everything else. I was just going to ask you, what's your experience been like so far with Oregon regulators? You've said a little bit so far, but it doesn't sound like you've really had a lot of headaches. But I just kind of wanted to ask that question more clearly.
There's a lot of good energy. People are pretty excited about what's going on. The workers that are working in the psilocybin branch of the government are all helpful. I have zero complaints. I'm the one who's difficult to work with. I'm a certified crazy person. Yeah, Illinois, Midwest, times were crazy for a while, but at
Yeah.
this point, I guess hard to say anything bad about anything,
You remember you had to log in 200 times a day? You had to change your password and all that.
I haven't done it in like, I haven't certified anyone in Illinois in like 2.5 years. It's
Yeah.
crazy.
But it's funny. I remember that.
Oh, I
Yeah.
remember too. Those,
Hell
I could play that stupid system like a fiddle.
yeah.
I knew every weird glitch about that system.
Yeah. That's funny to think about that, man. Well, like I said, I wanted to give you the space. That's all I can think of for now. I'm sure, like you say, I'd love to talk to you 6 months down the line, kind of check in, see how things are going. But did we cover all of our bases, or did you have anything else that you'd like to speak about before we wrap today?
Oh, I think we talked about a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
And I really just I it's not really anything worth sharing, but I'm very happy at this point in my life. I'm really happy to be talking to you again. You were like one of the first people who ever like cared about the other business that I was doing. And the risks I took actually paid off. And like, who can fucking say that in this day and age? I just feel very, very lucky. And like, this place is my dream. And when I talk about like offering free services or cheap services to other people, like I don't think everything always has to be about, making the most money or anything. I feel like I've already had my dream come true, and I want to like give that to other people. And the only reason that I can say that after being all through all this crazy shit, it's not the only reason, but a big part of it has to do with the psychedelic situations that I've experienced in my life. This is getting pretty cheesy, but I just really appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll talk again.
Yeah, no, and I was gonna end by saying that I appreciate you and everything that you've done for the community over the years. I still see to this day people recommending Green Mind and thinking that you're still there. I can't like take I don't want to like destroy them by like, no, he's not actually there anymore. I want them to just believe that you're there in spirit.
No, you
It's
can tell them to start hunting for the best price at this point, because Green Mind is like everybody else now.
Yep. But anyways, seriously, I want to thank you for what you've done for the community and what you're doing now for the community. I look forward to hearing how everything goes. And yeah, I just wish you the best of luck, Dr. Lee. Thank you for always taking the time to speak with me. And I don't, if people haven't checked out other episodes, one of the things I do appreciate about you kind of knocked yourself for it earlier, but it is your honest, evidence-based approach. One of the questions you've always had with me, and I'm surprised you didn't yell at me about it. I was kind of hiding it. I was like, didn't want you to see that I was vaping, because you're like,
Yeah.
hey. Because you're honest as a doctor, like,
I
hey man,
still
that's.
thank you. I'm not going to stand here and lie. It's
I
not like
know, I
I
know.
do not.
But I know that it's wrong. And when I do it in front of you, I feel bad because I'm like, he's told me, it's
No.
not healthy. So,
No. You gotta live your life. And there's
I meant that
worse
out of respect, though.
than
One of the things that I respect about people like you is that you do say it the way that it is, and you produce the evidence, and you're still honest about the fact that you do it. Like that's fine, but you're honest about the risks that you're engaging in, and that's important. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I respect that about you, and it goes a long way, especially to wrap it back around to the conversation I was referencing earlier with people that are critical. Like that deflates their fucking steam whenever I acknowledge that I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm not saying that cannabis use is entirely healthy, but for you to say that it's entirely wrong is also not true. It's somewhere in the middle, and respectful, responsible use has to occur. You can abuse anything.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
again, I know I got off on a little tangent there,
Totally agree.
but yeah. Being honest takes the steam out of any critic and allows us to just keep moving forward,
Yeah.
and finding
Makes you
that.
feel better about what you're doing with your own stuff. And I totally agree with that. And you're one of my very favorite people that I've never met in person.
Yeah, we'll have to make that happen. I'll have to come over to Oregon and maybe go through an experience. So,
Sure.
so
Well, I'd be
cool.
very happy if you did.
Sweet. Well, folks, I hope you found as much value in this conversation as I did. Dr. Lee, I'm looking forward to the next time I talk to you on the Cole Memo.
Likewise.
Take care, everybody.